Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning for your love. A love that was so great that you would send your one and only Son to die for our sins so that we could be restored, we could be reconciled, we could to pay the price, to redeem us from our sins. Lord, we thank you for that. And we just pray now that as we turn to your word, we would just be able to focus in on what you have for us today. Lord, I know that some who are here have a lot going on in their lives. There's a lot of distractions taking place. And Lord, we just pray over these next few moments we can lay those aside and give you our attention. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have to be honest with you this morning. The idea for this morning's sermon, the passage for this morning's sermon, came to me quite quickly early on in the week, but the details have not been so easy. I've wrestled around with what to say, when to say, and where to say it, so we're going to see what happens. But I think about this time of year. Many people make New Year's resolutions. It's a time when we look at the previous year. And maybe January 2020, we set out to lose a few pounds. Possibly to pay off a few debts. The end of the year came around. Maybe some of us were successful and others failed. It is possible with all the events of the past year that it's been difficult to stay on track. And it's possible you've made New Year's resolutions all your life and never really been successful. In fact, I just read this on Facebook this morning and had to chuckle. One of my college classmates posted, "Shout out to everyone who said they would start eating healthy in the new year and already decided to wait until Monday." The reality is we make resolutions and we hope that we can keep them. And this past Wednesday, as we're working through 2 Timothy, I looked at Paul's life, and really in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we saw that Paul was reflecting back on his life, and Paul could say, I have finished, he would basically say in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 7, the following, says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." And I think about this as we begin a new year. I pray that as Christians, and I pray that each person here this morning has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, but I pray when we're at that point, we're at the point where Paul was, where he knows that his life is about to end, it's about to be complete, he's in prison, he evidently feels fairly certain that Nero is not going to allow him to get out of prison, and more than likely Nero is going to execute Paul, and actually Christian tradition would say that Paul died a martyr in Rome. And here Paul is reflecting back, looking back at his life, and he's saying, "You know what? I have no regrets. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." What about us? When that day comes, when we're lying at death's door, what about us? Will we be able to look back and say the same thing? You see, the reality is, if that's the desire of our heart, to live out our Christian lives, to be able to say that we fought the good fight, we finished the race, we've kept the faith, if we're going to do that, it begins now. We can't wait until we think death is coming close to an end or our life is coming close to an end and then say, "Okay, now I've got to get serious about my faith." And as I look out across the room this morning, we have varying ages. Some of us, even myself, I just turned 51 past week. And some of you are a few years older than 51. The reality is we think, well, God will probably bless us with 70, 80 years. If we're fortunate, we'll be like Miss Martha and we'll make it into our 90s. And I guess we probably, I don't know, but I'm guessing when you make it to the 80th birthday and the 90th birthday, you probably think, you know what? My time here on earth is drawing close. But folks, we can't wait until then to decide we're going to live out our faith. And I think about particularly the word and the phrase that Paul uses, I have kept the faith. And folks, I think there's a misconception here that Paul was able to live his life and not doubt God or question God. And really, as I studied it out for 2 Timothy the other day, this past week, it's more about he lived a life that was faithful to God. In other words, Paul didn't just believe that Jesus Christ was real. Paul didn't just believe that God would take care of him. Paul allowed what he believed and what he taught to affect the way that he lived his life. And I think the same is true for us. If we are to keep the faith, we need to live in a way that is honoring to God. We need to live in a way that brings glory to Him. We need to allow what we believe to influence the way that we live. So how do we do that? As we look down, as we take on the task of a new year, how do we make sure that we're headed in the right direction? If you turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3 this morning, we're going to look at a passage, and as Paul writes, and I believe as we look at this passage, we're going to see this some steps that Paul took in his life here as he writes to the church of Philippi that would allow him to say and write what he wrote in 2 Timothy. One of the things we need to realize as we pick up in chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 12 through 14, is we need to understand a little bit of the context of where Paul is coming from as we look into this passage. You know, Paul, as he starts out this passage, he says, finally, brother, rejoice in the Lord, for me to write the same thing to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Then he would go on and say in verse 3, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. And then Paul would continue on for the next several verses saying, though I also may have confidence in the flesh, and he would begin to boast about all his accomplishments as a Pharisee. He would go on and say that he was of the stock of Israel. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning zeal, he persecuted the church. Concerning the righteousness which is from the law, he did it perfectly. Boasting about all of his physical accomplishments, his accomplishments as a Pharisee. But then Paul would say, but all of these, all my accomplishments are but nothing more than garbage in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ. In fact, if you look at verse 8 of chapter 3, Paul would say, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. You know, in these few verses, Paul made it clear that righteousness comes through faith in Christ and not from the law. Paul has made the transition from striving to keep the law to striving to please God through the way that he lived his life. You know, had Paul not met Jesus on the road to Damascus, his final words may have been quite different. Instead of saying, I have kept the faith, he may have said, I have kept the law. As we look at verses 12 through 14, we're going to see how Paul lived his life and what led up to him being able to say in his last days, I have kept the faith. And I would say to you this morning, if we want to keep the faith, and really the title of the message is Keeping the Faith in 2021, if we want to do that, the first step we have to do is evaluate our current condition. If you look in your Bibles at Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, the first half says, Paul would say, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. First of all, I love the fact that Paul is willing to be transparent with his readers. You know, so many times we look to the spiritual leaders, we look to the Billy Grahams, we look to all these people, and we expect perfection from them. But Paul is clear, listen, I struggle. I've not attained. I have not perfected. I struggle. And one of the things this tells us about Paul is he had done an evaluation of his life. You don't come to that conclusion that I've not attained, I'm not perfected, unless you're taking time to evaluate your life. Reality is, Paul has struggled. Romans chapter 7, Paul would say he doesn't understand the things he does and he doesn't do the things he knows he should do, and it's just this back and forth of his struggle with sin and with the flesh. But I think it's important for you and I, as we begin a new year, as we strive to keep the faith, that we evaluate our spiritual lives. In order to do so, we have to know what we're striving for. What does it mean to attain? What does it mean to be perfected? Well, obviously, it means that we are to be like Christ. Most of you are probably saying, well, yeah, but he's God. You know, how can we compare ourselves to Jesus? Yeah, it's a goal that cannot be obtained, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't keep striving to get there. Most of you have been around long enough, and you've heard the stories, like the Olympic athletes. You know, they strive for perfection. You know, unfortunately, gymnastics has changed, and I don't understand it, but when I was growing up, if you'd watch gymnastics in the Olympics, the goal was to get a 10, because that was a perfect score. I believe the same was true in diving back in the day. It's all changed to, I don't know, some 100 scale or something that I don't understand. But the goal was to be perfect. The goal was to see that perfect score of a 10. And even with athletes that play in sports, you know, they just don't go out and play on game day and the rest of the week do nothing. They're always looking to see what they can do better, always looking how they're watching videos, they're studying the opponent, they're striving to do the best that they can do. I think the same is true for us. If we really want to be successful at keeping the faith, we need to study Jesus Christ. We need to actually ask ourselves the questions that the old bracelet used to say, that I don't think anybody really lived that way, but what would Jesus do? As we make decisions on a daily basis, we should be asking those questions. We need to compare our lives to Him. We need to evaluate. And it's a big step. And I would say, you know what? Let's take this down into a size that we can handle here this morning. If you've been saved for long, what are the two greatest commandments? Love God with all your heart and to love others, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. And I would say this morning, that's probably a great place to start an evaluation. Because Jesus would also say all the laws hang on these two commands. So this morning, as I'm asking you to evaluate, how is your relationship with God? Do you love Him? How about your relationship with others? And I guess not only do we need to evaluate where we are, we need to look at how we can improve. We need to look at why we are where we are at. If we're not loving God more today at the beginning of 2021 than we did at the beginning of 2020, why? Is it because we didn't set aside time to read the Scriptures? Is it because we didn't set aside time to talk to Him in prayer? Is it because we neglected to come together as a corporate body and worship? Reality is, this is an essential step if we're going to improve in our walk. It's a step that we see that Paul had to have made. He understands that he's not attained. He understands that he's not perfected. But I would say this, we have to follow up what, as Paul continues on to the second step, and that is to be determined not to give up. So continue on in verse 12, he says, "But I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." You know, I don't think anyone can accuse Paul of being a quitter. His desire was to serve God. And he makes it clear that even though he has fallen short, even though he has not attained or perfected, he presses on. He's not going to give up until he accomplishes what God has called him to do. I think it's important for us to be determined not to give up. The reality is, if you do a good job with step one in that evaluation, it might be just a little bit overwhelming. As you look back over the past 365 days, if you look at your relationship with God, as you look at your relationship with others, it might be discouraging, it might be overwhelming, and you might find yourself feeling like the good old Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. And we need to be determined not to give up. We need to be determined to press on in our faith. And the Greek word in the context that Paul has used, it means to move rapidly and decisively toward an objective, to hasten, to run, or press on. And I would say, I want you to notice one thing here. In this definition that I just read from the Greek word, there's nothing that hints or even looks close to procrastination. There's nothing that says, well, deal with it later. There's a sense of urgency, and it's going to take determination. We have to be determined that next January, 2022, that we have made progress, we have moved forward, that we are more like Christ next year than we are today. Determined to grow in our faith. As we look around at the world today, it would be easy to give up. Be easy to say, why bother? Can we really make a difference? And the bottom line is we have to trust God, trust that He still desires to use us, use His church to make a difference. It's going to take determination on our part not to give up. The third step, as we look at verse 13, the first part is simply not to dwell on the past. Verse 13, Paul would say, "Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Again, we see that he says, "I'm not apprehended." Paul is still a work in progress, but he says, "One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." You know, we're starting a new year. I just ask you to evaluate the previous year. But you know what? We can't allow that evaluation to get in our way of moving forward in our relationship with God. And I want to give you a word of caution here. There are a few things we need to make sure of. If in that evaluation we find that we have been caught up in some kind of sin, we need to deal with that. We shouldn't just forget about it and continue on in the sin. In fact, 1 John 1:9 says, "Confess your sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive." But also thinking back to what Jesus preached on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, if we have offended someone, if we need to go and make sure that we are reconciled and that the relationship is restored. We need to do everything on our part to seek reconciliation. So if those kinds of things are dug up in the evaluation process, we do need to take care of that. But some of the other stuff, we need to forget about it. The reality is, some of the things in the past will keep us from moving forward. And if we choose to dwell on them, We'll have doubts, insecurities, all kinds of things flood through our mind. And Paul says, no, I'm forgetting the things of the past. And Paul would continue on in verse 13, which leads to the fourth step. I think we need to ensure that we are making progress in our faith, as Paul would continue on and say, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Paul has forgotten the past. He's moving forward. You think about Paul's past. Now, I'm asking you to look back to the past year, but think about Paul's past. He persecuted the church. He stood by as Stephen was stoned. He was so religious that he didn't have room for a relationship with God. You know, Paul could have simply spent time living in regret over his past. I can't believe what a jerk I was. Why would I persecute the church? Why would I persecute those who were trusting in Jesus? Why would I stand by as Stephen was being stoned? Why was I so judgmental? All that time I was consumed with keeping the law. I could have been sharing the gospel. But this wasn't Paul's attitude. Paul's like, I'm not looking back. I don't care about that stuff anymore. I'm moving forward. He left the past where it belongs, and that's in the past. And here in the New King James, it says he's reaching forward. A better translation might be to strain. But we've all strained to reach something, right? That something is just out of our reach, but we want it anyhow. I think of the image of the little boy stretching for the cookies up on the counter, right? Determined to get that cookie. I probably shouldn't be talking about cookies on January 3rd. Straining to reach it, straining to grab that cookie. And it's the kind of same thing for us as Christians. We need to be willing to strain and press on and keep reaching forward to what God has for us. Striving to be in a better place, striving to be more in love with God in the next year, striving to be more in love with others, striving to be used by God, growing in our faith, moving forward, making sure that we don't go backwards. As we look at the last verse this morning, we see the last step, and that is to keep our eyes on the prize. Paul has a goal. The reality is, without a goal, it's hard to focus. Without a goal, you don't even know where you're running or why you're running or who you're living for. I think it's kind of like trying to save money. We're told it's important to save. I was told that from a child. In fact, I don't remember how old I was, but I can remember my parents going to the bank and getting me a savings account when I was a young kid. And we got so much for an allowance every week, and it's like, boy, I should be saving some of that. And then we'd go to the five and dime store. I mean, you know, I could put a dollar in savings or I could have a pile of candy. And what it would take to, as a child, for me to save money was a goal, something that I wanted, right? I think most of you are of age that you remember the JCPenney catalog. Flipping through, ooh, there's a toy I want. And you would save for it, even as a child. And I think even now as adults, the same is true. We may save for a vacation. We may save for a new car or save up for retirement. You know, the reality is our goals have changed, and as our goals change, our spending habits will change. But when it comes to our spiritual life, we need to look at the goal, and Paul tells us what that is in verse 14. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's pressing towards the goal. What is that goal? It's for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's pressing towards that eternal reward. A reward that Jesus would say in Matthew 6, that it does not rust and it is not moth-eating and does not fade away. that is stored up in heaven for you and I. Paul is pressing towards that goal. It's motivating him to keep moving forward. It's motivating him to go through the difficult times. It's motivating him to grow in his faith. It is allowing him to keep the faith. He knew that someday he would be rewarded for the way that he lived his life here on earth. Some may look at this passage and say, well, you know, Paul's talking about pressing on to grab a hold of that which Christ has grabbed a hold of him for and for the prize. And some of you may be thinking, well, that's because Paul was called to be an apostle. I'm not called to be an apostle. I'm not called to be a pastor. I don't feel I've been called to do anything. Well, you're wrong. You've been called to serve. The Bible makes it clear, as Christians, we're all part of the body of Christ. And it says we work together, we can make a difference. We can work towards the prize together as a church and as individuals. You know, I pray that your desire this morning for 2021 is to keep the faith. The reality is, we don't know what the next year has in store. But regardless of what the future holds, we can grow in our faith. We can live in a way that is pleasing to God. We can live according to our calling to be part of the body of Christ. We can do so by learning from Paul's example. We can start by evaluating our current spiritual condition. We can be determined not to give up. We can be determined not to dwell in the past. We can be determined to keep moving forward. And most importantly, we need to keep our eyes on the prize. My prayer is that next year at this time, we will be able to say that, you know what, 2021 may have not been the greatest year, but you know what, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith for the last 365 days. That's my prayer for you this morning. That's my prayer for us as a church. I fear too many Christians are just giving up. They look at what's going on in the world. They look at some of the immoral behavior. They look at some of the churches that are closing up the doors. They look at other churches who refuse to even open the Bible and preach the truths of God's word, and people are just giving up. But now's not the time to give up. It's the time to press on and see what God has in store for us as his body, as his church. That's my prayer for us as a church and for you as individuals this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for just how you've used various men in various ways to write the scriptures, and how it used their personalities and even used Paul's life to be set before us as an example to follow. Lord, may we not raise him up as a person, but may we be directed through his life to you and how we should live our lives in a way that would bring honor and glory to you. Lord, we love you this morning. We pray that you would just direct us as we begin this new year. Give us the boldness to share our faith and to be able to live it out with confidence before this world that so desperately needs to see the light of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, again, we thank you for the opportunity you've given to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.